So, we just had Thanksgiving, and there's two Shabbats to talk about gratitude, the one before and the one after. Since I didn't do it before, I'll do it after. So let's talk about gratitude. And let's talk about it from the point of view of our Torah portion. What is Esau's problem? Lack of gratitude. He despised his birthright. It comes in from hunting and he's hungry, and Jacob says, I'll give you some stew if you give me the birthright. So he was not grateful for his birthright. He's self-sufficient, which is to say his character is he gets things done and he's able to do whatever he needs to do. One of the places I'm going to be for a lot of time here is Deuteronomy 8. And one of the things that it says in Deuteronomy 8 is that when things go well, you will be tempted to say that my strength and my skill are the ones that have prospered me. And you will not remember that it's God who prospers you. That's part of Esau's problem. As I say, he's a man of the field. He goes out, he hunts, he herds, and when we see him later on, he's got a great deal of wealth. I don't remember how many servants he has that come up with him to meet Jacob when he comes back, but he's a man of substance. So one of the things that he has done, apparently, is he has taken credit for all of his substance to himself instead of giving credit to God. Finally, he doesn't honor his father and his mother. He goes out and he marries two Canaanite babes. And he didn't apparently ask anybody about that. He just did it. So when he finds out that this is really upsetting to his parents, he goes and marries one of Ishmael's daughters, which is fine. But the point is, this guy is self-sufficient. He doesn't have any gratitude. And one of the things about gratitude is it's a key component of character. So let's go to Leviticus 19 for a second. And I'll pick it up in verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Now, one of the things to notice here is this, I am the Lord your God. That is a statement of authority. God says, I have authority here. And before that is, you'll be holy, and then you'll revere your mother and father. How is all that related? Well, it all goes to authority. Because what God is saying is your initial authority in this world is your mother and your father. Yep. Little kids, you raise them up and they look up to you and you're their authority for a while anyway. So what the authority is supposed to do is instill holiness. It says, you shall be holy for I am holy, right? Well, holy technically just means set apart. I will suggest to you what it really is saying here is you will be different from the world. Set apart also can connote different, which is to say that your character should be different from the character of the world around you. So who is responsible then for developing this character that is going to make you separate from the world around you? Initially, it's your parents. That's their job, to civilize you. And to do that, they have to exercise authority over you. And at some point, your authority will shift from your parents to God, and God will then continue to develop your character. Now, one of the things about authority is authority very often gets you to do things you don't want to do. It sort of goes with the territory of being in authority. And again, for those of you who have children, you know that there are lots and lots of times that you took the little heathens and made them do something they didn't want to do. And you did it for their own character development. That's the whole point. God similarly is in authority, and he will tell you to do things that you don't want to do. Again, that goes with authority. So the sequence then is, I'm the Lord, you should be holy because I'm holy, which means you should be different. Then honor your father and your mother because they're the original authority that is charged with starting you on the road to becoming different from the world. And then finally, I am the Lord your God, which means now I am the one in authority over your life. Now, as I said at the beginning, Esau's problem, one of them, is a lack of gratitude. He's able to do things on his own. He despises his birthright. He doesn't consult his parents when it comes to deciding who he's going to marry. All of this bespeaks a lack of gratitude on his part for the role his parents have played in raising him up. It also, by the way, speaks in some way to the quality of raising him up. So, this lack of character, in addition to having no gratitude, also shows itself in that he is prepared to be a murderer. So I'm suggesting that the lack of character that this guy has stems from gratitude. Now, one of the things that he has is abundance, because he's the son of Isaac and he is a can-do kind of a guy himself. He increases his inheritance, but he also has access to all that Isaac has, and Isaac is a very wealthy man. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 8. So I'll pick it up in verse 11. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes that I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up. And you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. So what leads us potentially to forget God? Abundance. Now, let me ask you, has the United States been blessed with abundance? Sure. Have we as a culture become people with hearts who's lifted up, as is pride, not lifted up to God, but exalted, proud, arrogant? Have we become that way? Yeah, I will suggest we have. And it all goes back to a lack of gratitude for what God has given us. Now, our forefathers, starting back with George Washington and company, recognized this danger. These were Bible-believing men. They understood history of the Bible. They understood history. And so what they did is they set in motion a holiday like Thanksgiving. The whole idea is the nation comes together and we thank God for the blessings that he has given us. It is specifically an antidote to the problem of Deuteronomy 8. What has it become? Turkey Day! It's become eat until you go comatose and watch football and then go out and go shopping. It is the start of the shopping season. I will suggest to you that in our culture, thanking God as a part of that holiday has sort of drifted away from a lot of people. Not everybody. I'm certain you are all thankful. But it's an indicator of what the problem is with our culture. We set up a system, that's what Washington did and the Founding Fathers did, to keep us mindful of this. Now, one of the things that is characteristic of human beings, all of us, is we need meaning. Talked to you lots of times before about this. There's two sources of meaning, God and Satan. Both will provide meaning for your life. You get to choose which one is going to provide meaning for your life. So what we've done is we have kicked God out of our educational system, but we didn't kick Satan out. Satan's gift of meaning for your life is appetite. If it feels good, do it. You all are old enough to remember the 60s and 70s, but that was sort of the motto. If it feels good, do it. That's Satan speaking to you. That's not God speaking to you. God says, discipline yourself and develop your character so that you will become something that is different from the culture around you, and you will become someone who is pleasing to me. That's what being holy is. And that requires suppression of appetite, because your appetite just is all over the map. It also requires gratitude. You've got to have gratitude to the one who made you and realize that you owe the one who made you a debt. And the first one who made you to whom you owe a debt is your parents. That's why the fifth commandment is honor your father and your mother. They are your creator, in a sense. And then from there, when they have trained you up, you transfer that loyalty without losing the other up to God, who is also your creator. In both cases, the linchpin here is gratitude. And the problem we have in our society right now is a lack of gratitude, which flows from a lack of character, which flows from the only ones we're interested in are the ones who satisfy our appetites. There's a sequence here. And what I'm trying to do is show you what the sequence is. You want to be holy, which is separate, not like the rest of the culture. Then, honor your father and your mother. Those are related. Then, we come to God. And the sequence is, this is what I want for you. This is the character I want you to develop. Your parents start that process, and then you transfer to God. And the reason that you do it in all cases is because you are grateful. Now, if your culture or your parents have not instilled that in you, the only thing that you have guiding your life is appetite. And what do we see now among the general culture? We see a whole lot of anger. And I'm suggesting to you that the reason that you are seeing so much anger is because people have not been inculcated with the character that God wants them to have, and at some level they feel cheated. They're not quite sure how to get out of it because they don't have the foundation that I'm sure your kids all have. They don't know how to get out of it, but they know that there's something wrong. And so they're angry. And the only thing then that informs their decisions is appetite. I mean, that's why we have massive suicides. That's why we have people who are so unhappy with what they are that they will surgically mutilate themselves. This is all a symptom of a lack of gratitude for who you are. I've often said, I have no desire to be a woman. Quite happy being a man, and I'm delighted that there are women. Each of us has a role. And I firmly believe in staying in your own lane. And one of the things that is going on in our culture right now is the lanes have been blurred. Completely random and off the topic. How's all your Roman history? Anybody heard of the Emperor Caligula? Caligula was mad. Crazy mad, not angry mad. One of the things Caligula did is he made his horse a senator. And he made everybody in the Senate honor this horse as if it were a senator. Look at the freak show that our government has become. Those are Caligula's horses. Those are freaks that have been put into positions, and you must respect them. That's how mad we have become. And it all goes back to lack of gratitude. We haven't been thankful for what we've been given. We haven't revered our parents for what they gave us. And we haven't revered God for what He has given us. And if you're not thankful, then you become like Esau, who is perfectly willing to sell his birthright for a pot of soup. And that's where we are. We are perfectly willing to sell our birthright for a pot of soup, metaphorically, obviously. Just something to satisfy our immediate appetite. And that's what's going on with Esau. He shows up, he's hungry, he's got a real strong appetite, and all he cares about is satisfying his appetite at that moment. And so he sells his birthright to satisfy his appetite. And what I'm suggesting is that's what we are doing as a culture. All right, so what do we do about it? Thanksgiving is a weapon in the culture war. And I have just described to you a very dark world. So what's the antidote to darkness? Light. Light is the antidote to darkness. So what I'm suggesting to you is you go out and you demonstrate the gratitude that you have for whatever you have. One of my very favorite phrases, I use it all the time, is there is no limit to what you lack. So you can always go out there and find something that you don't have that you would like to have. No matter how much you have, you can do that. So if you're focusing on what you lack, you will never lack something negative to focus on. Switch your focus. Focus on what you have. Focus on the character that your parents have instilled in you. Focus on the holiness that God is working to instill in you. And as you go through your life, out in that dark world, shine. I was having breakfast in a restaurant in Longmont. Serving guy with dreadlocks and did not look like my idea of a godly person. Asked me how I am. And I says, I'm greatly blessed and beloved of God. And by the way, you be blessed. And he says, that's the best thing that's happened to me all day. Of course, it was only 7 in the morning, so he had a lot of day to go. But, you know, you understand what I'm saying. So there's always opportunities for you to shine in the world. And in that sense, thanksgiving and gratitude become a weapon. Use that weapon. Wield it against the enemy. Wield it in the darkness. That's what God means when he says, you be holy because I am holy. He wants you to be different. And he wants your difference to show to everybody that you meet.